your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Metaphysical, paranormal, you know, all those things you've been wondering about. Are you ready to go deeper into the realms of the unknown? I hope you've got your walking shoes on, because life is an adventure, and this is the journey. Come on, let's go. Hey, welcome to the show, everyone. This is Jen Cruz, and we're with The Journey tonight. I am really excited to welcome Jenna Grover to the show tonight. She is a teammate of mine on the She Squatchers. Hi, Jenna. Are you there?
Hello. I'm here.
So I just got to say, I had planned a completely different topic for tonight. And all of a sudden, I was like, no, change 22. You know, my listeners and everybody that I know, they all know that I love Bigfoot. So sometimes, and I thank them very much for this, sometimes they send me links to information that they run across online. And they say, you know, I thought you might find this interesting. And I'm like, I did find it interesting. Thank you so much. And so I think it was today, earlier today, someone sent me a link to listen to an audio because there are other women who are remote viewing Bigfoot. And I did not know that. And so this was really exciting to hear about. And so I listened to about an hour and 20 minutes of the audio. Stopped the audio. I had a little bit more than an hour to go. I sent the link to Jenna and I said, you need to hear this. Please listen to it and let's discuss it on the air tonight. So we haven't had an opportunity to really discuss this yet. And so I'm just going to ask you, Jenna, what do you think?
I am so excited. This is the best show on remote viewing, first of all, I've ever heard. Second of all, it's the best show on Bigfoot information I've ever heard. It's really eye-opening. It's exciting. I recommend everyone to listen. Even if you're not interested in Bigfoot, I think you should listen. It's really awesome.
Okay, so that's what Jenna thought. Do you think she liked it? Maybe just a little bit?
Bing!
Ta-da. Awesome. Well, you know, I was really excited, and I really enjoyed it. The information, just the whole idea in general that there was somebody else who remote viewed Bigfoot. Let me tell you a little bit about that. Okay, so the remote viewer, her name is Lori Williams, and she's actually a professional remote viewer. And she is not, and I repeat, she is not a Bigfooter. And she does a different kind of remote viewing than what I do, because we remote view to see if we can identify and locate Bigfoot before we even go out to look for Bigfoot. And so we like to do that and then find the areas that we're seeing Bigfoot on the remote view and then go to those areas and see if we can find Bigfoot in person. And so that's been kind of our really fun strategy, one of our strategies anyway. And we've been having a lot of fun with that. And it's been really fun to, like, literally navigate to GPS coordinates, park the car and say, okay, it is within 100 feet directly that way, go. And there it is, 75 feet right there in a straight line. You know, that is pretty cool. Right, Jenna?
Oh, my goodness, yes, it's fun. Jen is actually teaching me to do it, too, so it's interesting.
Yes, yes. So, the link that I received was actually to a show that played on Coast to Coast AM, and the guest host that was hosting the show that evening was Connie Willis, and she's from Blue Rock Talk. And I've heard Connie's shows before on Bigfoot, some of them anyway, and because there was one particular episode that she did featuring Samantha Ritchie. And I was particularly interested in that one because Samantha Ritchie was talking about these Bigfoot making calls in the woods that mimic other animals, but not exactly right. So you might think it's a barred owl, but yet it's not quite a barred owl. And we had recorded a sound in the woods in our the She Scorcher's very, very first expedition out. We had a crazy, crazy time, and we had recorded a sound that was a very eerie sound. It did kind of sound like a barred owl at some point, but then it didn't at the same time. So, I mean, after listening to every single recording that I could find online of a barred owl, and I couldn't find anything exactly the same, I didn't know what to do. But when I heard that Samantha Ritchie talked about them mimicking a barred owl, but it was kind of, but not quite, and then that she had looked up into the trees and seen silhouette of Bigfoot up there where the sound had come from. So that was very interesting to me. So I had shared that with my other teammates. Listen to this information. It's about, you know, something similar that we recorded. So whether or not they all listen to it, I don't know, because I'm always throwing information at them. I don't know that they always get to that. I see that Kat is in the chat room asking, how do you determine the GPS coordinates from where you see Bigfoot? Let me explain that to you, Kat, just a little bit. So there are different kinds of remote viewing. I'm a natural born person. I just started doing things. I didn't know what it was called or what I was doing exactly. Things would just start happening, right? So it was actually Larry's mom who I ended up explaining things to her about things I was doing, things I was experiencing, information that was coming through on various different things. And I would tell her what I called it, and I asked her, if there is already a name for this, can you tell me what it is so I can adjust my vocabulary? And so she did that for me. And then she was a professional psychic. She was, you know, friends with Jane Roberts. And she was Jane Roberts is the psychic who channeled the Seth Material books, which is very famous. And even though they're passed away, has still a huge, huge following. And there's lots of psychics out there that are trying to channel Seth, you know, because it's just such a popular wisdom that comes through there. So anyway, back to this. So Dory was telling me that this what I was doing was a type of remote viewing. So she said that she trained for remote viewing through the Monroe Institute out on the East Coast, and that she knew that the government was involved in some of that, and she was a little bit nervous about it because she didn't really know if she wanted them to know what she could do. And she wasn't quite sure how they would react to knowing that she could look at their stuff if she wanted to. So she didn't always give them the answers that she had to give. She would screw it up on purpose, she said, because she was a little bit worried about what they would do. You know, it was a fairly new thing. They were just starting to do that kind of thing. But a lot of people don't know that the government has had remote viewing programs and has done lots of research. And so the program that the government has used for remote viewing is called controlled remote viewing. Now, this is the type of remote viewing that Lori Williams does. And she's been doing it for a very long time, and she teaches people how to do it. Fortunately, Dory taught me how to do that too, and I tried it that way. And I was already remote viewing in my own way, so it just felt weird to me to do it some other way that required another person to help me do it. Because in controlled remote viewing, what they do is someone takes a picture of something. So in this particular case, someone took a picture of Bigfoot from the PG film that we just celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Bigfoot film. And so somebody took a picture of that famous image and put that picture inside of an envelope and sealed it up. And they gave it to Lori's moderator, which is a person who directs Lori with questions. So the trick about controlled remote viewing is to only describe the target. And so they aren't given a picture or a Google Earth or Google Maps or anything like that to look at. They strictly have a piece of paper or a tablet of paper and some writing utensils. So the moderator is basically moderating and monitoring what they're writing down. And then they direct them with questions. So let's say one of the examples that they used was, if we described this target as being red and shiny and smooth, you could assume that it's an apple, but then you'd be disappointed when you find out that it's actually a fire truck. If you had not assumed what it was, you'd still be happy with the information that came through. You described a fire truck, but you assumed it was an apple, because the description fits both. So the trick for that kind of remote viewing is to, you're trying to figure out what's in the envelope. What is the target? So you're only describing the target. And they're trying to get as many descriptions as possible that are accurate. You're going for color, texture, anything you can get. And the moderator is directing you with their questions. So if I said it's old but still shiny, if I had written that down, a moderator might say, okay, move to it's old but still shiny. Please describe further. And so they would direct you to look at that some more. And so I'm kind of a free spirit. I don't know if you all know that or not.
No.
Really, yeah, I don't. Not me. I don't do so well inside of somebody else's box. I just kind of go where I go, and that's where I go. So for me, it felt all kinds of unnatural to me. And I did better the other way. But I'm not suggesting that we should go out and learn this other way. I'm suggesting that the information that Lori Williams brought through is interesting. And it's very interesting, especially since she didn't know what the target was. She didn't know her target was Bigfoot. So she wasn't remote viewing to find a Bigfoot or to locate Bigfoot. She was remote viewing to identify what her target was. And the target was Bigfoot. And and so it was very fascinating to me. It's a completely different kind of remote viewing. Let me describe the kind of remote viewing that I'm doing. It's called more like geographical remote viewing. I'm looking at Google Maps or Google Maps or Google Earth. And I'm looking at satellite images, basically, of an area. I'm always looking at from the satellite view. And I'm basically scanning areas, and I'm asking the question, where's Bigfoot? Show me Bigfoot. And what happens then, in my perception of this, what I'm looking at, the images I'm looking at, is all of a sudden, if there's a Bigfoot there, I'll see an image of Bigfoot right there. It pops out of the screen, big as day. So then I zoom into that location, and I continue to look further, right? And this is exactly what happened when we chose the area that we drove right to and parked. And I said, okay, girls, Bigfoot's on both sides of the car within 100 feet. Directly, we're in the middle of the line of it. Let's go find it. And I literally said, I see a huge Bigfoot face to the right. And it actually was a little bit scary. and I wasn't sure why, because I didn't really think we should have to fear Bigfoot, but I just assumed maybe it's an aggressive, more aggressive male or something. Or maybe it wouldn't have liked me come knocking. But I said, to the left, there's also something within 100 feet. I'm not sure what, but it's something when it registered as Bigfoot when I asked. So that's how I'm remote viewing for Bigfoot. And when I still do, I this is just what I'm focusing on right now, but I do paranormal investigation remote views for teams that are about to go out and investigate a place. I look at it before they go and tell them what I'm seeing, and what I'm seeing is there, and what's the problem that I'm seeing inside of there, and what are the possible solutions that I'm coming up with. And it's that's been really fun for me, because I think through doing these things, you know, practice makes perfect. So the more we do it, the better we get, right? So I have been teaching Jenna, and when we're together in person, you know, showing her, look, hey, we're going to look for Bigfoot. What do you see? You know, are you seeing this here? And she does. And it's really cool that we're actually seeing the same things. I don't think we always see the same things when we're not together, though. You know, that's something we should probably look a little bit harder at. But a lot of times, and here's the thing that people should understand, when we went back to that location, again, I've got my Google Maps out, we're the little blue dot traveling down the trail, and I accidentally went into like a remote view of this image. And, you know, I didn't do it on purpose. I just started to see it in the way that I see remote views. And I said, oh, it looks so different right now. Now, it's the exact same satellite image that I was looking at before. The image hasn't changed, but the remote view of it has changed. So I just want to clarify that. So I said, there's a lot less going on there now. A lot of it's gone. But instead, I am seeing a giant ladder going up into nowhere out of there. And it's like above the trees, and it's going way, way up. And I said, wow, that's weird. And, you know, I'm saying that in the car. I'm like, we're almost there. And, you know, I didn't know what quite to make of this giant ladder thing, or what exactly that would mean for sure, you know. But we went there and we found that, oh, it looks different now. Some of it has been taken down. It's just missing. Some parts of the structure, it's a lot smaller now. Or some parts of it are on the ground. So, I mean, it's very interesting. You know, I actually saw there's a lot less there. And so when I was listening to the audio from Connie Willis's interview with Lori Williams, where she was having her remote view Bigfoot as the target, she described how Bigfoot travels interdimensionally is like chutes and ladders. And that's how it came to her. It's like chutes and ladders. And I was like, what? Like, really? Did she just say ladders? And, right? I was freaking out, just freaking out. And so I immediately talked to the first person that was close to me, which wasn't Jenna, that had been in the car with us. And I said, do you remember what I said when we were almost there? Do you remember? Oh, it looks different and it's not looking the same, but instead I'm seeing this something else there. Do you remember what it was? Yep, a ladder, giant ladder. I'm like, yes, listen to this. So I thought that was fascinating. I thought that was awesome. So Jenna, what are the things that jumped out at you in this program? Because she took notes, I didn't. She's much more organized than I am. Go ahead.
Well, actually, I don't know if I'm more organized than you, but I started listening and I was about half an hour in, and I literally had to turn it all the way back so I could take notes because it was so wonderful. I wanted to be able to talk about everything, even though it would take forever. But so much jumped out at me, Jen. First of all, she, like you were describing, was talking about the difference between a remote viewer and an extended remote viewer, which an extended remote viewer is actually when they're in a hypnotic state and they can see the specifics like numbers and street signs and things like that. But as far as the summary of her view, she said that she couldn't really feel like, she didn't really feel like she was really connecting or relating to it, but then she really felt different. She felt like it was a really intellectual creature, and she began to connect. And she felt a hunter and gatherer, and skinny, stinky breath, really tall, lanky, fast, subtle, hair fast, quiet. One of the things that she was talking about was the reason that they're here, and I thought that was pretty neat. She was explaining how they move through time portals, which I think is amazing. It's something that I've thought about, but she really put a good perspective to it. She said that at the time she was basically asking, why are you here? And she was hearing, why are any of us here? Kind of a thing. And she really talked about how they are peace-loving and they have families, and more than anything, that they just wanted to live and be quiet and just be, I mean, they're shy creatures, basically, is what she was saying. And the coolest thing is, as far as time travel, she was talking about, and I'm just wowed out by this, Jen. I'm serious. She was talking about how they slip backwards into time, and it's more of a defense mechanism. So when they're scared, when something scares them, they are popping back, and they don't go forward into time. They always go backwards into time. She was feeling this, and they go backwards into time. So when these Sasquatch are disappearing, like, you know, they're just gone, they're actually, according to her, going back into time, same place. Like, they will be in a specific space in that forest. They're spooked or scared, and boom. And they also were trying to relate to her that they did not have control of this. It was almost like a skunk. You know, when skunks get spooked, how they spray, you know. So I thought that was really, really, really interesting. The whole time travel thing was amazing, and I just loved her ideas on that. But she said, as far as humans, she said she was trying to explain how Bigfoot saw humans, and I totally get it too, because as far as being spooked, because she was saying how they see humans as a natural enemy because we're violent and we're unpleasant. And she actually mentioned that they think that humans have an unpleasant odor, and we're always talking about how they stink. So, but, you know, and they also were trying to explain to her, or not. See, she wasn't hearing words. Basically, she was consciously feeling them, and then she was writing it into words. She was putting what she felt into words.
Well,
so this
isn't
what
it's a telepathy. You know, when you speak mind to mind, that there actually isn't words. Mm-hmm. And what she was describing, I totally understood this. I understood everything she said. Mm-hmm. I understood all of it. I'm like, yep. A lot of it are things that I already know. But the slipping backwards in time, and then how did they, because they go individually, but then how do they not lose their family members or their companions? And it was described then that they were brought back into the same time together by the power, and it's like the energy of love brings them to the mm-hmm. same time in the same place. Now, I found that very fascinating, and I'm just going to say, and I'm going to remind Jenna, you know, because I'm probably the most skeptic psychic you've ever met. And I typically don't believe anything until I see it for myself or I feel it for myself. So, and that's not saying anything negative about anybody else. It's just the way I am. And so these are one of the things that I put into my mystery bag. I don't reject it, and I don't fully accept it either. I put it into my mystery bag of information. And if and when I see how it fits into my puzzle with other things that are already fitting in the puzzle, then I will put it into the puzzle. Mm-hmm. But I have to see that it goes there. And I can't just put it there myself. And remote viewing isn't 100% accurate. I mean, no psychic in any way, shape, or form is 100% accurate, as much as we would like to think that we are, or as much as people would like others to think that they are. But what I find interesting is that remote viewing is more of a science than it is a psychic ability. And they have protocols and, you know, so much structure that it just makes my skin crawl. But good, because they can measure the effectiveness or their accuracy rate. So when they're looking for targets of something that actually exists and they can fact check, awesome. They can find out how accurate they are. And Lori Williams has an 87% accuracy rate over many years.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, because we can't currently fact check Bigfoot, we can't call him up and say, hey, is this right? You know? Lori said this. Is that what you think too? So because we can't do that at this time, we can look at her accuracy rate as 87%. And so we can assume then maybe that perhaps 87% for sure of what she said is probably true. Me coming at it from a remote viewer and from a remote viewing in a different way, and also what I've experienced and what I've seen and what I know for my own self, what I've come to understand, I understood the things that she was describing. At one point, she said she didn't feel that she... How did she state that? She said that she didn't feel like she had the intelligence capacity to understand what they were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was that struggle of them trying to explain it to her in a way that she would understand. And even then, you know, she wasn't sure that she understood it. But the things that she was saying, I understood them. So, and like the web of how the portals are doorways that move through time, like, and it looks more like a web of light, like a spider web of light. And that through that, the accessing of that is through consciousness. And then I have been saying for years, and you can ask Travis in the chat room, how many years have I been saying that time travel is something that you do via consciousness? It is not a technology. Well, it could be a technology, but it doesn't have to be. I think consciousness is the way to go. Teleportation as well. That all of these things are accessible. They are possible through our consciousness. If we reach that conscious level, then it becomes available to us. I've been saying that for years. I feel that 100%. Take it as you want, or don't, but just remember I said it.
Just remember I said it. Well, Jen, I really do agree with you, though. I'm not taking everything that she says as, you know, what it is, but it is exciting knowing that these are things that we've talked about, you know, and that's exciting. We've actually talked about time travel. We've talked about the portals. We've talked about so many things that she was talking about on this show, which was really, really exciting. And you brought up the love, you know, and she was also talking about how love is so much. Love is basically the key to keep their loved ones. So when they're moving through time, love is what keeps them from being separated, and it's a powerful source, is what they were trying to communicate to her. And they said it's much like gravity. What comes up must come down, and love, what gets, you know, thrown apart must come back together. And love is that key to them. And she also said, you know, they are very peaceful creatures, and they aren't, like I said, I'm not taking this as 100%. You know what I mean? But I love the fact that she is very accurate. But it is exciting to hear some of this information. And like I said before, you guys have got to listen to this. This is just fun. It's exciting. And, you know, you'll probably listen to it and think, wow, I've actually talked about that or thought about that. But as far as the whole love, it's like magnets. Love is magnets to keep the familial beings together. But she did mention, too, that their lifespan, because she basically had questions that were coming up. And she did say that their lifespans were 150 years. And orbs, she was talking about orbs, too, and how orbs are actually different beings. And they don't have an a body, a physical body, but Bigfoot or Sasquatch actually has a physical body, and they're less dense as humans because they have to do this time travel. And she also talked about how Bigfoot, Sasquatch has been here before humans. They'll be here after humans. And I just think it's so interesting. And she also mentioned too, and this is really, really cool. She talked about how they were trying to communicate with her, saying that we need to use our time packages wisely. I don't know if you remember that, Jen, but they're basically saying that we have time packages, which is basically our lifespan, which that's really cool. What do you think?
I think that is cool. And we're already halfway through the show. We have to go to a break. So hold that thought, everybody. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
I'm Jenna Valadez with The Basement Files. Tune in Friday nights, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Para-X Radio Network.
Hi, this is Master Tarot Card Reader Ken Bogle, and I highly encourage you to tune in every Monday night to the Para-X Radio Network for the Para-Cave, hosted by Matt Gesso, as he goes in search of the truth in the supernatural, metaphysical, mystic, and paranormal. Monday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, only on the Para-X Radio Network. I never miss it, and neither should you.
Where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please, please, take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs and all kind of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No.
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear. Line.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's the Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. This is the Journey Radio Show, and I'm Jen Cruz. And I've got special guest tonight. Well, she's like my guest host tonight, as many other nights, I guess. Jenna Grover, and she's also with the She Squatchers. She's a teammate of mine on the She Squatchers. And sometimes people send me information that they run across online for Bigfoot. If they think I might find it interesting. I love it when people do that, by the way. So thank you for those who do that. And today I received a link from somebody recommending that I look into this because somebody else had been remote viewing Bigfoot. And of course I was like, what? I am so excited to hear this. So sent the link to Jenna after I had listened to some of it and was like, oh yeah, we need to both hear this. And then we need to talk about it. Let's talk about it on the show. So here you're listening in on our conversation about this because, you know, we remote view, we do geographical remote viewing of Bigfoot. And this lady, Lori Williams, is doing, it's called controlled remote viewing. And it's a lot different, but yet both ways can gain access to information. So one of the ways that she's going to perceive that is more of a in her mind, where I'm seeing images changing and sometimes it morphs into a movie type thing where I'm seeing things moving, somebody's doing something, you know? So I'm seeing images and I'm seeing a movie and it's interactive. I can continue asking more questions and the images change according to what the answer is that I'm looking for. And she perceives it much, much differently than that. So I think it's that aspect alone is fun, that we're perceiving it completely different ways. And that aspect to me was exciting because the information, a lot of the information that was coming through were things that I have already sensed or said or saw. And I was like, oh, you know. So it was like confirmations for me and for us through somebody who is not even a Bigfoot person. She actually admitted she didn't even really think about Bigfoot before. She didn't even really think Bigfoot existed before this.
Didn't she say she thought, oh, I'm sorry.
She thought Bigfoot was something that people just imagined, you know, that she thought it was silly, you know, really. And that this doing the remote view on that target, and she didn't know what the target was. The target happened to be Bigfoot. After all of this, now she's completely changed her idea of the fact that Bigfoot exists. Now she believes in Bigfoot, and she didn't before. So that's fun. And a lot of the, you know, the idea that Bigfoot could be an interdimensional being can seem pretty out there to a lot of people until you start looking at the data of how many people are following this or following the tracks, and they just disappear into nowhere. No sign whatsoever. Or Bigfoot disappears in a flash of light. That they see the flash of light, Bigfoot's gone, the footprints stop there, and they can't find a thing. You know, there's a lot of reports that come in from around the world like that. So you kind of have to look at that as data and say, you know what, there's something going on there, at least some of the time. If a lot of these people are saying the same thing, you know, if they're reporting the same thing. So I see that Travis was in the chat room and he confirmed that, yes, you have been saying that for quite a while. So I have been talking about time travel and moving through parallel universes and time and place and teleportation. As I've been saying it for years and for as many years as I've known him, which since 2010, I've been saying that I believe this is available to us through consciousness, not technology. Although I think that they could develop technology that does it. I think it would be less effective or probably a little bit more risky. Because what if your technology breaks when you're somewhere else and you can't get back, or you run out of gas or whatever, you need to charge your battery. You know, all of those things are possible, so it's a little bit more risky. But if you could do it just via consciousness, like, let's go to France for lunch, and boom, we're in France. You know?
That would be amazing. I would so be traveling everywhere.
Oh, I'd never see you when I
have. You'd be with me. Oh, you'd be that. With me.
True that. True that. So, you know, so one of the things that I wanted to discuss with Jenna about what the information that she received today on the other remote viewer, which was Lori Williams, and it was all done through Connie Willis, and she's the host of Blue Rock Talk, and she's sometimes the guest host on Coast to Coast AM, which, by the way, I'm a big fan. If since I was a kid, whenever I was allowed to stay up that late, I would love to listen to that Coast to Coast with Art Bell. Oh, but he's no longer on the show, and there's all these other hosts now. And, you know, there's Coast to Coasters who like the old and don't like the new, or they like the new and don't even know about the old or whatever. I love it all. I love it all. And I just wish I had more time to listen to other things like that. But, because, well, there's some topics I don't get into, but here we are doing radio on weird, strange, out there stuff, just like they do. You know, so it's different. It's a different kind of things. So Travis just posted in the chat room. He says, well, all these artifacts that they find that are technologically advanced for their time may be stuck time travelers. And I agree. I agree. I actually heard that they dug down to a certain layer in the dirt that was like millions of years old. And in that rock, they find the footprint, the sole of a shoe that is made today.
Oh, wow.
That is in the rock. So how did that happen? I think that there was also a case where there's a case where they found something that looked like symbols that at the time they didn't recognize what the symbols are. But nowadays, if you looked at the symbols, it was like what you would find on your stereo, car stereo for rewind, fast forward, play, stop, pause. We understand what those symbols mean. But this was something that was done forever and ever and ever and ever ago before any of that. So how did that happen? You know,
mm-hmm.
Very interesting stuff. Very, very interesting stuff. So, and there's so much that we don't know, and there's so much more to learn. And that's why I'm just like, how exciting is it that we get to explore this great mystery that is before us? And it's not just Bigfoot, it's everything. There's so many wonderful, amazing mysteries out there, and this is just one of them. And even that, somebody could spend their lifetime on.
Mm-hmm.
So, there was one thing that Lori said in her remote view about language and the way that Sasquatch communicates with Sasquatch and how they have a group consciousness way of communicating with each other, which does not have language such as we have language. I totally get that. I'm going to tell you that animals and everything else communicates on the level that she was talking about. that there's more of a group consciousness and yet there's also an energy that animals use to communicate. And that, you know, our spoken word, our language, so to speak, that way, if we're saying that our language is English that we're speaking right now, it is archaic and it is not. It doesn't function as well as we think that it does. And I've been saying that for years too. Because our understanding of words varies depending upon who you're talking to. And nobody understands that they don't necessarily believe the word means the same thing as the next person does, but they're using the same word and they think that they agree on whatever. And then when one does the opposite, they're like, we had an agreement. You know, yeah, they did, but they understand that word differently than each other does, you know? They both held to their agreement.
You know, Jen, that is one thing that you always seem to bring up. You're, you know, when we're talking and I use a certain word, you're like, you know, you have to remember people don't always see that word to be the same, have the same meaning. And it's true. Like you said, you know, you get into these contracts with people and one person thinks one thing and the other person thinks another and there's a miscommunication and then there's problems.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, at one point I was writing things and I was working with somebody who was trying to help me with getting published. And he said, you know, I ran your stuff through some type of a program. And it says that you're writing at a 12th grade level. And I said, yes. And he's like, no, that's not a good thing. I'm like, no, I'm going for that. He's like, no, you want to write, you know, you want to maybe get a thesaurus and start using bigger words. And I said, no way. And I said, you don't understand. I am trying to say things in the most simple way I can think of. And I'm avoiding certain words that people may not fully understand, or they may have different understandings of what that word means. Also, people associate sometimes emotions with certain words. It'll initiate an emotion. And once I sense that there's a fearful emotion that comes from hearing a certain word, I stop using that word. And I replace it with other words that also describe the thing that I'm trying to describe, because I always try to avoid the fear thing. Because once people are afraid, they can't sense and they stop kind of moving forward. So I try to work around the fear thing. And so there's certain words that I've identified that a lot of times initiate a fearful emotion when people hear the word. And
like give an example.
What is the word? It's like people say it when they're very Christian and they're talking about how they have to discernment.
Mm-hmm.
When people hear the word, I have discernment, they immediately, this barrier of fear comes up, like a wall, like there might be something to protect myself here from. It's kind of how they are reacting to that word. You know, be there with a caution.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stopped using that word because a lot of people inside of their mind think it means there might be something evil here or there might be something trying to trick me here. And mm-hmm. I don't want to convey that ever or initiate fear in anyone. So I stopped using that word.
Smart.
And instead I'll say something very simply like, I have the ability to figure this out and rationalize by looking at it logically and asking various questions, you know. Or I can feel it, you know. When you know something's right, you really can feel it. It resonates with you, you know. But so I purposely try to say things in a very simple way so that everybody will understand what it is that I mean, not just how they understand the words.
And that's why you make the big bucks.
Oh, yeah. I wish I made the big bucks. Bring on the big bucks. Oh, no kidding, right? Let's see. She says, she's got all kinds of things going on. It's too much to read in there. I don't think they're questions. So I think they're just talking amongst themselves.
You know, Jen, I do have to apologize. I've had way too much caffeine. So the information I gave everyone was a bunch. But what do you think? I mean, with what I had mentioned, is there anything that you wanted to discuss?
Well, I really just wanted to see, you know, how much of what she said did you feel that we had already known or experienced?
Honestly,
what things?
Mm-hmm. So much. I think the time travel we had discussed big time. I had never really thought about it going backwards in time. I guess time travel to me was, you know, going back and forth and forward and backwards. But I thought that was pretty unique. But I know we've talked about the time travel. We've the remote viewing, I think, is exciting because hopefully now people are starting to take it a little bit more seriously. And I know that she had made so many points. I'm trying to think of all the things that she had talked about, you know, especially like talking about how Bigfoot is a peace-loving being. You know, we discussed how, you know, as far as consciously, they can kind of tell that we are peace-loving people. You know, I think they can tell if you, I think she was even talking about that, how if someone's out there looking or in the woods and they're out there, they can tell if you've got a violent streak to you or if you mean no harm. And I thought that was pretty neat because that kind of verified that we discussed. And there's so much.
There is. Right before we went to the break, I wanted to come back to something about you said that how she mentioned that they are less dense than humans are. They're less dense. Mm-hmm. I totally understand this. Dense is, if you think of ourselves as energy, and science says we are just energy. If you look at our hands underneath a microscope, a strong enough microscope, you'll see that our hand is not actually physical. It's energy. Right? So
yes.
Science says that. It's not just me. Okay. So when we know that this is true, and science says that it is, when we raise the frequency of our cells, we are less dense. We are less heavy. Now, I don't care how heavy I look. I'm less dense than I used to be.
Dang straight, girl. Who wants a Dorito?
And we need a sponsor for our team, people. And we keep talking about Doritos because we love them. And hey there, Doritos, you should be our sponsor.
Dang straight. I'm gonna email or text them pretty quick. But as far as what you were saying before, you know, she did talk about that as far as being dense. And she did say to raise those frequencies. That's one of the ways that you can even, maybe even a human would be able to try to communicate with them through meditation and raising our frequencies. And so.
And also, you know, they talked about how love brings them together with their family units. Mm-hmm. So if you raise your frequency, and so now we're talking about energy workers, because this is how energy workers talk. And I am an energy worker, so ta-da. But if we raise our frequency, we're also raising our ability to love on a more pure level. Okay, and so I'm just going to use this as an example. Let's say, and this is how I talk to animals. I'm an animal communicator. It's exactly the same. When I want to come near an animal that nobody else can get near, I throw love at it. I do. Literally, pure love. Like, unconditional, I love you. And I give it mental pictures of what I want to do and what my intention is this. I don't actually have to talk using words. Sometimes I do that just for other people's benefit. But for the most time, I can be completely silent and do everything that I do and not ever say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we're doing like paranormal investigating and house clearing and whatever, I'm typically pretty silent. It's weird for me to have to say it out loud for other people's benefit, because I have always done everything very quietly because I was in the psychic closet my entire life. So I learned how to do everything very, very quietly and without words, without speaking. So for me, it feels weird to talk about, to say the stuff out loud where everybody's going to hear it, you know, and sometimes I'm like, oh yeah, I suppose I should say that out loud so they can hear it, you know.
You know, I liked what you said about, you know, communicating with animals and how you throw love at animals. That's the first thing you do. And I think if we did that more as a human race, if we threw love at each other, just standing next to each other, the world would be a better place. Instead of, you know, everybody's so concerned with themselves and involved in themselves. And, you know, that's hard if we just started passing the love, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I sound goofy saying that, but.
Yeah, I know. We sound like hippies or something. And that's okay. I can be a kind of a hippie sometimes, I guess. My definition is not probably the same as everybody else's from the 60s, but oh well. I would fit in regardless, even if I don't partake.
Peace and love.
I still fit in. Peace and love.
Uh-huh.
And so the whole point is that emotions are magnetic. Energetically. And that's just true. It's true. Mm-hmm. As an energy worker, I'm going to say that this is absolute truth. It's true. And so when we're feeling something, we're going to draw that something to us, basically, mm-hmm. when we hold that. And so all of that makes sense. So when we're out looking for Bigfoot in the woods and we're holding that, we're just so excited and we're just so happy to meet you and we just mm-hmm. love you.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be your friend. You know, this is the best way of communicating, putting that out ahead of us so that they don't get scared. And if what Lori said was true, so they don't get scared and time travel away from us.
Isn't that funny, Jen? Because, you know, when we're out there, sometimes we'll break out into song. I mean, not that we sing all the time, but we're happy. We're enjoying what we're doing. We're looking. We're investigating. You know, we may not be doing the conventional investigation, but the way we're doing it is, it's really working.
It's working well.
It is working, and it's positive, and there's no negativity about it. So that's what's going to draw something to happen, I think.
Right, right. And, you know, here's the way that I look at it. There's a ton of Bigfoot teams out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty much following the same model.
Mm-hmm.
And if it worked, they would have been done with this already.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm kind of the logic. I'm very logical sometimes. Even if I do sound like I'm out there, I'm actually very logical. And I think that we should address and assess our weaknesses and our strengths. And when we do that, I recognize that I'm not a young chicken like I used to be.
What?
I know, right? I can't go hiking for days upon end and not feel sore at all. I mean, so if I really want to be the one to find Bigfoot, if we want to be the ones, mm-hmm. there's lots of other people who are physically more capable than we are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a weakness for us, right? Check. Right?
Us? No, I'm kidding.
If we really want to be the ones, we have to figure out how we're going to make it happen anyway. What can we do to make it work? What can mm-hmm. we do to make our time in the field more effective? And my answer to that is remote viewing.
Yeah.
If we can identify where Bigfoot is or where Bigfoot has been, before we even step foot near the woods,
mm-hmm.
you know, they don't even have a chance of getting through there.
It saves some time. I tell you what.
It saves some time. It mm-hmm. does. You know, we were out looking one day, and this is funny because we found some footprints in one place, and then we decided, okay, there's too much of other footprints here. We're not going to. There's too much that could be questioned here by other people. I don't even want to waste my time with it. I want something really good. So we decided we were going to go to another area and we're driving there. And all of a sudden, my spidey senses went off. My whole body went into tingles and it was like, do-do-do-do-do. And like my sight went straight to the woods, through the woods to my right. And I said, stop the car, turn around, go back. We need to get in there. Whatever that is, we need to go. So we turned around and we get in there and it's actually a gravel pit behind there. And we pull up and what do we see? Footprints, big as day, going up this really steep gravel pit hill. And they were fresh. They were fresh. Bigfoot could have just been walking up there right before we pulled in there.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know how. I mean, they were fresh.
mm-hmm.
And so, you know. We didn't even know there was a gravel pit back there. So, I mean, we sensed it. So we're going to use our senses. We're going to use these things that are going to give us a little bit of an advantage because we lost some advantage physically, right?
I love the way you explain that, Jen. That really explains it well.
Well, that's how I see it. We're going to use what we got.
I think that should be a life motto for every one of us in every situation. Use what you have and don't be held back by what you don't.
Right. Exactly. You can figure out how to make it work. Mm-hmm. And where did we do? I said it's within 100 feet of the car in that direction. And it was, 75 feet away mm-hmm. in that direction. It was right there.
Wasn't that like my second or third outing? I don't remember, but I was honestly, I am still a skeptic. I will admit it, but it was exciting. And that was the first time that I said, this could be something.
Right. We have to close up the show here pretty quick here. So I can't believe it's gone by so fast. So I'm just going to say, everybody, you can Google search this. I'm going to put a link in the chat room. But for those who are listening, you can Google search it. You're going to look for Connie Willis, Blue Rock Talk, interview with Lori Williams, remote viewer on Bigfoot. And so if you look up that, you can find the YouTube video sharing what we listen to as the audio. And you can listen to that yourself and compare it and enjoy the information. She's 87% accurate, proven. That's her track record. So that's really impressive stuff. I'm impressed.
And it's a great show.
It's so awesome information. And thank you for those who send me information like that. I really appreciate you. And I love you. So this is the Journey Radio Show. I'm Jen Cruz, and it's Jenna Grover, and we're also the She Squatchers. You can find us at shesquatchers.com. By the way, we're having a Bigfoot banter in Minot, North Dakota, not this weekend, but the following weekend on the 18th at 5 p.m. at the Sleep Inn inside of the Body Lab USA Holistic Health and Psychic Fair. We will actually be there all day. So you can come in and meet us and take your picture with us if you want. Otherwise, come to our meeting at 5 o'clock. We're hoping that all the Air Force will come over and share their military stories with us, maybe, from all over the country. What a resource that'll be. So spread the word on that, and we'll catch you next week. Thank you to our awesome producer, Sarge. Thank you, Para X, and we'll see everyone next week. Good night, everyone.
Night.